Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Good morning, Joan.
Good morning, Jerrica. How are you?
I'm all right, thank you. I'm a bit worse for wear after that big session we had yesterday with Alfie Bo and Little Mix. Goodness
oh,
me.
Gosh.
Wasn't
yes.
it wonderful? What a fun recording day that was. And all socially distanced before anybody panicked.
Yes,
I don't know. I did manage to sidle up to Alfie at an unobserved moment to give him a little peck on the cheek. He's such
a lovely, I know,
darling.
He really is. Unfortunately, I actually ended up sitting on him in the toilet.
No joke.
I went in. Yes, I didn't know he had a bit of a dicky tam, and I went in, you know, as I often do, with my eyes closed and just plopped myself straight down. I also needed to. Past my bi-monthly stool, and unfortunately found myself sitting on his lap.
Oh no, and did you pass your tiny stool onto his lap at that point then, Joan?
Some of it unfortunately did find its way out.
Oh no.
It was very, very awkward.
Such a gent, isn't he, Joan? I imagine he pretended not to see it.
He did, but I don't know if you noticed the atmosphere in the afternoon was very strange between myself and him.
Yes, I did wonder about that, Joan. And I thought, to be honest with you, I thought perhaps he was a bit overwhelmed by your stunning beauty.
Oh, bless you. No, I think he was I hate to say it, but I do think he was a wee bit put off. I mean, it was only a very small pebble that came out, but nevertheless,
Well, I did notice there was I thought it was a chocolate button, actually, Joan, squashed onto the bottom of his jacket. So I don't know what happened there, because I do know they're very sticky, aren't they, these little pellets that you pass on a bi-monthly basis.
Yes, I don't know why. I don't know why when they're so dry, but they seem to have this kind of sticky coating.
Sort of adhesive, grippy sort of under section, which he'd obviously tried to get it off and had just squashed it down and thought, oh, well, it will look like a chocolate button. And indeed, it did look like a chocolate button, Joan. But I don't know if you noticed one of Little Mix tried to eat it at one stage and then had to rush off and oh dear. But they're sweet girls, aren't they, Joan, those girls? But
they're lovely girls, yeah.
I have to say, I rather enjoyed it when it was just us and Alfie.
Know what you mean. It's different, isn't it? It's just more, there's a chemistry there and there's a sort of simpatico, really.
Yes.
I suppose as well an intellect, really, that isn't quite there with the Little Mix girls.
No, perhaps not, Joan. I mean, not to be unkind, but Alfie, he's got an enormously high IQ, hasn't he? And
is it 300?
Yes, I think so. 301 or something like that. He's very modest about it, but he's an extremely intelligent guy. And as we know, has won all sorts of mastermind awards internationally. But such a gent, such a charmer, and such a wonderful voice, Joan.
He's got the whole package, really.
Really has. Yes, what a lovely, lovely guy. And I've always loved
him. If he's married or not.
I don't know. Yes. He's very secretive, isn't he? And I don't know. He's got a real twinkle in his eye, Joan. And who knows? But anyway, we'll see, won't we? He's coming round for a distance dinner, isn't he, in the castle?
Yes.
So keep us posted.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, wonderful.
Dear Joan and Jerrica, I accidentally shot my husband on our honeymoon and he passed away that evening. We had booked our trip for 2 weeks, so I decided to stay on and stock up a friendship with another couple. One evening, after a fabulous fish buffet and some local music, the male of the couple, Greg, asked me to their room to fetch his wife's Windbusters for her IBS, as it was at full throttle. Once in the bedroom, he unleashed his penis and masturbated himself whilst dancing about the room, poking it into my mouth once he'd started climaxing. I really want more, but his wife seems to think they're very happy. Plus, she's a GP. Linda Lollydope, Lincolnshire.
Oh, Linda. Goodness, what an adventure and what a rather
extraordinary saga. I don't know if it was a saga holiday, was it? Did she say how old she was?
No, I think she's younger. I think she's in her mid-30s, actually.
Oh, goodness,
I do. I mean, it's a lot to unpack there. Yes. She accidentally shot her husband on the honeymoon. Yes. He passed away.
Did he pass away from the shot, did she say, or was it from something else?
I think it's from the shot. Right. But, I mean, essentially, I suppose, at the very least, that's manslaughter.
Mm.
At the very worst, that's murder.
Yes.
We don't know.
It's a tricky one.
She seems to sort of swept that under the carpet and moved on.
Yes, I wonder where she was. Was it somewhere where that's sort of rather par for the course? And was it somewhere in, I don't know, Morocco or somewhere where people are...
I believe it was actually a British holiday, a British seaside holiday, she said. Yes.
So this rather interesting story about this fella dancing around the bedroom, masturbating and then popping his penis in her mouth as he climaxed, which sounds... does sound quite a lot of fun for any lady, or any age really, to experience an unexpected, I'm not going to say attack, Joan, but an unexpected, let's say, party.
Mm.
Mouth party. Mouth party in the bedroom. That, this lady's been rather lucky, hasn't she? She shot her husband, she killed her husband, and now she's being rewarded with a wonderful mouth party with this rather fruity sounding fellow.
Absolutely. It's a complex one, and she's saying she's a GP, the wife. I'm not quite sure what she's getting at there.
Well, I suppose a GP works very hard, probably very busy, out a lot, probably very upset.
They do tend to look very tired, don't
they? Yes, and tired, often wearing glasses, quite worn out by the end of the day and overstressed, overstretched.
Probably not time, really, to take the dancing husband's penis in her mouth very often.
Exactly, and, she's herself to blame for that, this GP lady, and... she needs to think about taking a bit less time.
She's also obviously, needing these windbusters on quite a regular basis.
Yes, that bodes ill, doesn't it, Joan? Yes, I would imagine if she's got sort of bloating and runny tum, that the husband won't be able to go at her in the same way, will he, if she's sort of letting escape little whiffs and pops and bits of this and that, drippy bits of this and that around the bedroom. That's going to rather put him off. Poor fellow. So you can see, can't you, why he would want to have some fun with this murderess.
With Linda Lollardoop.
Yes. But yes, we will be forwarding this to the police, I'm afraid, Linda. But in the meantime...
Yes, I feel we can't analyse the latter part of the letter without knowing whether or not you should be actually in jail.
Indeed. I imagine the police will be in touch, Linda. But in the meantime, thanks so much for your letter.
Dear Joan and Jerrica, I'm a hot young nun and very devoted to the Lord. Recently, however, whilst at a special screening at the cinema, a partially sighted man made a pass at me. I don't think he could see or feel my habit, and in all honesty, I'm afraid I forgot myself and allowed him to bring me off. I just can't stop thinking about him and wondering how I could track him down. Are there any special digital records for partially sighted folk that I could look up online? And that's Sister Sandra Stebworth from Lancs.
Oh, goodness me, what a sorry tale. briefly, yes, there are registers of partially sighted people that you can contact social services. They'll give you a list of folk that are, from virtually fully sighted, but just perhaps with some macular deterioration right the way through to people who've lost...
Stone blind.
Sadly, all their sight. But obviously, there's some concern here, Joan.
There are. I mean, all sorts of questions, aren't there? Why was this done, Sister Sandra, at the cinema? She says it was a special screening. She doesn't say what the film was.
No.
One can only hope that it was something religious in nature.
Yes, of course.
And was the partially blind chap there in the hope of some kind of healing?
Yes, absolutely, Joan. So I wonder what the film would have been. Does it say at all?
Doesn't seem to say.
No, I'm just wondering if it's that one with, what was that wonderful, beautiful blue eyes, Robert Powell.
Which Jesus Christ Superstar?
But also... With the Suffering or something, I can't remember the name of the film. Dear Robert.
The Last Temptation of Christ.
I think it might have been that, actually. And dear Robert, dear friend.
Oh, he's lovely. He lives near Hampstead Heath, actually,
yes.
Bobby. And he's still got very nice curly grey
hair. Does he, Joan? Yes. I completely lost touch with Robert.
Oh, Bob, yes, he's still... He's quite grumpy these days, but
is he?
Yes.
Oh, no, he was always a bit of a grump.
Yes,
and we put it down to the fact that he was very troubled in... all of his marriages, really, Joan. And he used to come round, we'd have a sherry and he'd put his feet up and he'd tell me all about it.
You still see him prowling the heath?
Yes, Yes, I'm sure you do.
On all fours, actually.
Oh, really? Yes. Mm. Well, I mean, I wonder whether perhaps he's dropped a contact lens or something, Joan. I don't know. He's very vain always, and he always needed glasses. And I'd say to him, oh, Robert,
just wear them. But he didn't.
I can't. He said, girls don't like men in glasses. I said, oh.
He's got it the wrong way round.
Oh,
you know, men don't make passes at girls in glasses, exactly. But girls do make passes at guys in glasses.
They do, and absolutely. And guys that can't see. And indeed, that's what this nun appears to have done in this film screening, I'm afraid.
Yes, I mean, she's saying that he brought her off.
Mm.
But I'm wondering, I mean, he was possibly grasping for his blind stick.
Probably, Joan, or trying to feel around for his dog.
Mm.
And, you know, she's rather, by the sound of it, sort of pushed herself forward off her folding up seat. And
well, yes, I think in a longer letter she admits that she hoiked up her habit and wasn't wearing pants.
No, well, they don't, these nuns, do they, no. Joan?
And of course they let themselves go down below, so he could well have thought that was his dog that he was stroking.
Yes, his fluffy, moist little item.
Probably thought he was putting his fingers in and out of his dog's mouth, often these blind folk will overspoil their doggies.
Yes, particularly the cinema. Treats. You know, they're trying to keep the dog quiet, so feeding it little chocky chop drops. And
yes, she said he was stuffing chocolates and popcorn up her frontal bottom.
Right.
And,
well, it does sound like there's been some crossed wires here, doesn't there, Joan? And so I'm just wondering whether it is worth her while going on this register, social services, to try and track this fella down. I imagine he'd be mortified, Joan, to discover that, you know, he wasn't in fact feeding his dog little treats, but he was actually inserting chocolate buttons up a nun's vagina.
Yes, I mean, she said he was quite weepy because he didn't seem to know exactly what was going on. She had a very loud orgasm and was then unzipping his trousers and grappling at his penis. And, I mean, he probably wondered, again, he probably assumed it was his dog.
Yes.
Dog gone wrong.
Yes.
Dog gone rogue.
Yes, and a lot of these guide dogs, Joan, they're all very good and well-behaved, and they've learned all sorts of wonderful tricks and where, you know, stop at the zebra crossing and all of that. But, you know, they have off days, don't they, Joan, like we all do. And they'll very much go rogue sometimes and deliberately bump their owner into a lamppost or, as you say, perhaps unzip their trousers and try and get their member out and give it a good old chew. You know, they get bored, these dogs, and who can blame them? And perhaps perhaps reading between the lines, this is a dog that's perhaps not a Christian dog. I was rather objecting to the content of the film. Perhaps this was a dog who was of another faith, or indeed agnostic, and was rather objecting and trying to make his voice heard. But you know,
are you saying that there was a threesome between the nun, the dog, and the blind?
This is what I'm assuming, Joan. You know,
so she'd go in for a yank, he'd go in for a gobble.
Yes, and there'd be a chocolate button each.
I do think she needs to be a little bit more honest, particularly as a Christian, with herself. She's implied that he brought her off, and I just think if she was truthful, she assaulted this blind man, really, for her own ends.
It does sound like it, Joan. It sounds like she's a fantasist, rather, doesn't
it? Well, she could
be
one of these nuisance nuns that we've heard about, prowling the cities, going into cinemas and any dark places they can. She's just greedy for trouser snacks.
Hungry for trouser snacks, by the sound of it, this lady.
Very nasty indeed. Dear Joan and Jerrica, my children have fled the nest and it's just me and my husband Clifford. Not only do I miss my children, but I worry that Clifford and I have nothing in common. I know leaving him would break his heart, so I've been looking into other ways to be free of him. If he were to fall off a cliff, is it likely that he would be smashed to pieces and taken out to sea, or is there a chance he would survive? I only ask because he enjoys walking by the sea. Bella Gunnage from Swansea.
Well, I'm not an expert. I would imagine depends on the weather, the tide. My mind would leap to the smash to pieces option. But I suppose if he's of a sound body, and the pictures you sent in, he looks quite robust, doesn't he, Joan? I suppose there's a possibility that he would survive. It's 50-50, to be honest, Bella.
I think so, and I think it's patently obvious that she's talking about trying to murder her husband. I don't think it's anything to do with him walking by the sea.
No.
As you say, looks robust. he looks like he's got a good 20 years in him, I would say. And I think it's very unkind of Bella. We have a lot of letters like this from ladies who talk about, oh, I hope my husband dies of a heart attack in his sleep. Oh, I stabbed my husband. You know, I find it very distressing, actually, if I'm honest, that these women are thinking in these ways about these poor guys.
It's a tricky one. I mean, I know that a lot of women are very unhappy with their lives. They're very lazy. They're very self-centred. It's all me, me, me. It's how can I get rid of him? Let's switch that round. What about this poor guy? Why? I wonder why he's out walking the cliffs all the time, desperately trying to get out of the house.
And also, I would say, what a lovely looking guy. I mean, walking the cliffs, he's really like Paul Dark, isn't he? I'm not talking about the current one, the older one from the 70s.
Yes.
As he looks now. Yes,
absolutely. Yes. Let's just clarify that.
Yes, he looks like him. He's got a black cape, which is very nice.
Yes.
It's very rare to see these days. And I'd love to see him out on the moors or the cliffs like that.
Absolutely. And, you know, interesting that he's not... so he's got a cape and he's got... What's he wearing on his legs, Joan?
I don't know if they're bloomers or jodhpur, sort of chopped-off jodhpurs.
Certainly only to the knee, aren't they? With those rather high-buckled shoes that you don't see much nowadays, do you?
No, so I don't know if he decides that he is actually basing himself on Paul Dark.
Could be.
Dressing in that way. I love a Tudor shoe.
Oh, who doesn't love a Tudor shoe, Joan?
I've seen lots of modern variations that guys wear, and I love it when a guy wears a shoe that's very long at the front, much longer than where the toes stop.
Yes, so they look like they've got absolutely enormous feet, but you know that there's a flappy emptiness in the end of that shoe, and there's nothing wrong with that, incidentally. That's not a criticism of the man. But yes, these kind of shoes, which for some reason have gone out of fashion, it's hard to see why, that this what's his name?
Clifford.
Clifford, I beg your pardon. Oh, it's rather odd, isn't it? Clifford on a cliff.
Know if that's what made her think of it. She doesn't look very bright. I know we say this a lot and we've been slightly criticised for this, but she has done well to get her husband. Clifford's fantastic.
With such a dress sense.
I mean, what I would say to her is, if you're trying to push him off a cliff, you're not going to find anybody else if that's what you're after.
No.
If you're after, oh, I've lived my life, I've served my children, I've served my husband, now it's a bit of my time.
Yes.
Not really, Bella.
No. Nothing's going to happen, I'm afraid, Bella, apart from a rather lonely and, sad. I'm going to say sad and lonely old age for you.
Well, yes, I think you're going to be stuck in that bungalow
with that staring face.
Staring at the ceiling when your husband's out there in his lovely Tudor shoes and little calves coming out there at the bottom of his little bloomers.
Oh, it's a mystery to me.
I wouldn't be kicking him out of bed.
No, I wouldn't. I certainly wouldn't. Not with a pair of shoes like that.
And just to say, on just a purely legal matter, we've got the pictures. Don't try anything funny, Bella, because we know where you live. We know
Swansea.
What Clifford looks like. If we see a pair of empty Tudor shoes
floating,
we know what's what.
So we've got your number.
And we do know some top detectives.
We absolutely do.
Listeners may not know that we actually have a book coming out and audiobook.
Yes, indeed. So that's both in print form and in oral.
Yes, oral.
Absolutely.
We all love a bit of oral.
Everyone loves a bit of oral around Christmas, don't they, Joan?
Oh,
so
yes.
Hopefully that will satisfy those with the big oral appetites around the festive season. It's called Dear Joan and Jerrica, Do's and Don'ts from Dating to Death. That's
why he turns away.
Indeed. And full of tips and ideas of how to keep your man happy.
Absolutely. Quizzes, recipes, stories, advice.
Yes.
Drawings.
Absolutely. Letters and much, much more.
Much more. Horoscopes.
Yes.
You name it, we've got it.
We've got it in there, including some very, very, very highly personal stories
and
tales of our own.
Lovely.
I heard that Philip's actually going to come back for Christmas this year.
Well, he's hoping to. You know, he's headed up this huge anti-mask campaign. I do admire him hugely. You know, he's not afraid to put himself out there and, you know, really say what he feels. He's got so much love and so much sort of machismo as a man, doesn't he, Joan? Which, you know, is what really drew me to him, you know, in the first instance. That and the sort of wonderful Magnum PI moustache that he was sporting in those days.
Oh, lovely. And it's all sort of gingery grey now, isn't
it?
Although does he paint it still?
He paints it, yes. He has a man that comes and paints it. A very young guy, very talented Thai artist who comes along, brings very, very intricate brushes, Joan, and some small pieces of mosaic, which he pops in, and it looks absolutely wonderful. You can't touch it, but looks beautiful. Yes.
And Philip's always had that very quite pungent scent about him, hasn't he?
Yes. It's a sort of musky smell, isn't it, Joan? As you know, he doesn't use soap. He doesn't. He's not a believer in soap.
No.
Doesn't believe in smellies, as we call them.
No.
Prefers the raw scent.
Smellies.
Yeah. So, yes. You know, he a lot of dogs go at him when he travels around because they just hear they sort of smell the raw meat sort of smell, a pungent sort of.
It is a meaty smell he has. It's like a sort of a meat just on the turn sometimes.
Yeah, it's very butcher's sort of smell about Philip. But again, partly what I admired, Joan, you know, wonderful, very, very masculine fella. So very lucky lady.
Aren't you? Happy Christmas.
Oh, absolutely. Fingers crossed. Oh, dear. So perhaps we'd better head off for now, Joan, and see you all again soon.